This is an ABC podcast.
Well, it's one of the biggest agricultural stories in the Northern Territory. And I tell you what, it's causing plenty of debate. This week, the NT government reapproved Singleton Station's staged water licence for up to 40,000 megalitres. So this cattle station, it sits a bit south of Tennant Creek, and the company in charge is called Fortune Agribusiness. Its chairman is Peter Wood. He spoke to Hugo Rickard-Bell about the decision this week, the extra conditions that have been placed on the licence, and of course, where to next for this big project.
Yeah, well, look, firstly, it's very pleasing that we've got to this point in the process and that we still have a licence. The changes that came through, I think, are reasonable. Certainly, the additional conditions around a hydrogeological investigation is said before we start is certainly reasonable, and we would be doing that regardless. The requirement to do a cultural sites impact assessment is also quite reasonable, and again, we would be conducting something along those lines as part of our referral to the EPA anyway. The other major change, which is to extend stage one from 2 years to three, we can accommodate that. It's going to require some further work on our part, obviously, to revamp our stage one development plan somewhat, but we'll be able to accommodate that.
There've been a number of reports surrounding Fortune Agribusiness's influence on the decision. Did you ask the government for the laws surrounding water-dependent ecosystems to be changed to allow for 30% of them to be impacted?
No, we did not. We certainly approached the government a couple of years ago to provide the guidance and advice on how and what sort of impact on GDEs would be acceptable, given that the implication in the water allocation plan that there shall be no impact on GDEs basically meant that there could be zero development, and I'm sure that, and we were sure that was never the intent. So we sought some guidance, but we had no further input until we were given the guidance.
Was the 30%, was that Fortune Agribusiness's recommendation based on their research?
Not at all. No, we had no idea what the government would come back with. That was purely delivered to us as a fait accompli, if you like, when the GDE guideline was issued.
Peter, how will you guarantee the cultural and environmental safety of the surrounding at-risk land that's been cited by the CLC and other environment groups?
Well, there's a couple of aspects to that, Hugo. On the environmental side, and the particular focus, or the major focus, has been around groundwater-dependent ecosystems. There's been a lot of work done on that space over the last couple of years now. So the location of GDEs has been mapped, and we've carried out a lot of work in the field to validate the mapping, if you like. The mapping was done by a remote sensing method. We've had teams in the field doing field validation of the mapping, so we've got a pretty good handle on where they are, and we've done a lot of groundwater modelling, as you'd be aware. So we can predict how much drawdown there will be in the aquifer and where that drawdown will occur and when. And we've positioned our bore field in a way that very much minimises the impact on groundwater-dependent ecosystems right through the life of the project. At the cultural level, well, firstly, we've obtained a clearance certificate from the Aboriginal Areas Protection Authority that covers the project site and surrounds. We've also obtained information on sacred sites that are further afield. So again, you know, we'll be managing the project in a way that does not impact on sacred sites. The issue around sites of cultural value, there's a requirement now in our licence to carry out an impact assessment on that, and that's what we'll be doing as one of our next immediate steps, I guess.
We'll move on now. You've had your licence approved. When can we expect stage one to officially kick off? When will shovel be hitting dirt out at Singleton Station?
We certainly hope, Hugo, that we can get the project up underway, at least at some level, by about the end of next year or early 2023. Obviously, there's been the process we've gone through has slowed us down a little. We still have to get various approvals. We still have to get our non-pastoral use and land clearing permits, and we do have to refer the project, as everyone's aware, I think, to the EPA for approval. So that those processes, hard to predict exactly what how long they'll take. But we're hopeful that we can have all the boxes ticked and get the project underway either at the end of next year or early into 2023.
What job opportunities will be made available to local Territorians?
What we've quoted quite regularly is what we anticipate as being the ultimate workforce once the project's fully developed. And we've said something of the order of 110 permanent positions in our current plan on the farm itself. There'll be additional permanent positions in some of the related infrastructure to support the farm and also to support the community that we're going to have to create in that area. And then on top of that, there'll be, and again, it depends on the absolute final selection of crops, but they anticipate to be somewhere around 1,300 seasonal jobs in the peak period.
Now, that's a massive workforce, and I guess what I'd like to know is, do you feel that this is realistic? Because other properties in the area, Desert Springs comes to mind, for example, just out of Alley Krung, they really struggle to employ a local workforce and often have to bring in seasonal workers from overseas or across the border. What will you do differently to try and keep this a Northern Territory-based workforce?
Well, we'll do everything we possibly can to go to and employ Territorians and particularly locals, and particularly including the local Aboriginal communities. So we'll be doing everything we can to provide training and employment for those people. But having said that, just given the numbers we're talking about, clearly we're going to have to also bring in people from outside, and as all farms do throughout Australia, really. But we'll be doing everything we possibly can and working with the communities and local governments and others, agencies, to maximise the opportunities for the locals. In terms of the permanent, in particular the permanent, but also the seasonal or temporary workers, we recognise that we have to create an environment there that is an appealing place to live and work. So we're factoring that into our planning for the, you might say, the community infrastructure that we have to deliver for that workforce, so that we can hopefully attract and hopefully retain a skilled, semi-skilled, happy workforce.
Peter, there are reports that Fortune Agribusiness is Chinese or Chinese-backed. Is it?
Yeah, I don't know where that originated from, Hugo, but perhaps just to put it to bed, Fortune Agribusiness is a Australian company. It is 100% Australian owned. All of the shareholders, directors, advisors, key advisors, are Australian citizens. And I really don't know where that message has come from or why it is continually portrayed in the media.
Is there any Chinese interest in Fortune Agriculture at all?
I think what people have picked up is that some of my colleagues have Chinese names, so they have Chinese heritage, but they're all people that have been in Australia for 30 plus years, or born here. But why that's such a matter of interest to some people, I just don't know.
Peter Wood, chairman of Fortune Agribusiness, the license has been approved. What are you looking forward to over the next coming months?
I just look forward to really getting on with the project now in a very constructive way. There's still a number of tasks we have to get through, as I mentioned, with the satisfying the conditions precedent for our water licence, getting the other approvals and finalising our plan for stage one. So it'll be a very busy 12 months ahead of us, and I'd love to think that we could finally get the project underway shortly thereafter.
That's the chairman of Fortune Agribusiness, Peter Wood, speaking to Hugo Rickard-Bell. If you missed our conversation yesterday with the Environment Minister, Eva Lawler, that interview is available on the NT Country Hour website. It's been a while since we've heard from Fortune Agribusiness. You might like to join the conversation this afternoon. Our text is 0487 99 1057. I've got a message here from Rosemary. who says, I Googled the Singleton Station water licence because it sounded terrible. But reading the information on the water controller statement puts a completely different cast on it. The four stages of increase are dependent on compliance. So it's completely deceptive to talk about the maximum 40,000 megalitres as though it's first up. Also, so much research on vegetation types, etc. So please, more accuracy in reporting, ABC, rather than the talking points of activist groups who have form for this kind of BS. Thank you, says Rosemary on 0487 99 1057.